Cartoons out of here.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
What's up, Bubba Bubba? Boy, howdy. Boy, howdy, Dave, I'll tell you.
Boy, howdy. What are you doing?
Man, just sitting in Addison, Illinois, staring out, gazing upon the bountiful strip malls of DuPage County from my hotel room.
Okay. I like that you get a hotel when you go back to your hometown. That's a good move.
Yeah, so I see I'm getting some weird sounds coming in. I'm trying to find on my levels. I'm trying to correct that right now as we're speaking. Yeah. I think it's just circumstantial. I think I'm just by the airport. I'm just by O'Hare. So I think there's just always going to be a low din of an American Airlines flight coming in from Pittsburgh at all times. Sorry, everybody, if that's what it is. Yeah, well, my sister's also in town, and so she's staying at my folks' house, and it's easier to manage.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, I'll be over there for the amount of time I'll be over there for, and then I need a place to retreat to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's such a smart move. I used to not do that. I used to always crash with the folks whenever I would go visit, but then last couple of times I would just get a hotel, and it's nice because you've always got that out. You've always got that, well, I'm going to go back here to this whole different building that you don't have a key to. So I'll see you tomorrow.
The amount of time we've spent was great. Now I'm going to go.
Yeah.
As opposed to just sitting around all day, listening to two TVs that are on the same channel, but with enough of a delay so it sounds like you're in a stadium in the house.
Oh no.
It's either the Weather Channel or HGTV. constantly.
Really?
Yeah, there's no silence is forbidden. silence is the most least tolerated audio setting in the house. Somebody needs to be talking or a TV needs to be on, preferably both at all times.
That's bizarre. That's odd that they wouldn't want a break from the TV noise a little bit here and there.
No. If it's quiet, you have to think about your life.
Do you really think that's what it is?
The silence makes you reflect, and nobody's doing that in the Midwest.
Oh, man, that just sounds awful.
Well, it's what it is. But it was good. Went out with them the other day to the spot down the street. It was fun. Saw him last night. Just sat with some pals. Really, I'm not trying to get crazy anymore. I used to be like, I got to go in the city. I got to see what comedy shows are going. I was like, I can't do it anymore. I don't. Maybe once in a while, but I'm not going to go out. I don't know anybody left. Everyone knows they're old. Nobody's going to stay up till a 4 a.m. bar on a Monday. Thank God.
Yeah.
So
how's the? It's been a. How's travel been? What's been going on this week?
Well, I was trying. So we recorded two Saturdays ago.
Did we?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We haven't spoken. We did about an early one.
Mm-hmm. So I recorded with you from Nashville.
Yeah, and I think
and so. This whole past week, it's been a whole time. Rachel got in. We tore it up. I told you we went to what was it called? Bob's Western World.
Robert's Western World, yeah.
Robert's Western World. My apologies for throwing the nickname out there. No disrespect to Robert's Western World.
Yeah, Bob's for friends and family.
Yeah, that's not me. That's just clientele. And we went, man, that downtown Nashville, What a, I mean, I covered that last time, but
mm-hmm.
what a fucking Vietnam of drunkenness, of just people dragging bodies out of the way of fire. But so we did that, and is this air conditioner going to go on in the hotel? It better not, because I turned all the shit off. Oh, it's a refrigerator. So I got hotel noises. My apologies, mm-hmm. everybody. I got
you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
The hammy in. The hammy in's coming in with some background, with some mm-hmm. some room tone. But okay, so we did that. Then we went to Memphis, and we went to Graceland. I tell you, Rachel already had an outfit, had like a sparkly jumpsuit type outfit that she wore. I'm like, that's it. You just out Elvis in his own house.
She got a sequins jumpsuit?
It was like a two-piece thing, but it was fanciful.
That's cool.
And it was appropriate for Graceland.
Did y'all have fun at Graceland?
Had a real good time. Got to see his airplanes. He's got a bed on his airplane. The bed, it's got a seatbelt. Just lay down, and the seatbelts are all 24 karat gold plated seatbelts.
Of course.
Like, that guy spent money in some of the corniest ways, and we were about it. Jungle Room alone, I'm like, oh shit! By the time I get back to Beaverton, the house is going to be decorated like this.
I wouldn't mind a little bit of that tacky 70s decor in my place.
The jungle room? Yeah, the jungle room I was all about. The Blue Angels colored blue and gold TV room, that was hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
That was a difficult one too. That felt like the break room of like a 70s department store.
How many TVs did he have in that room?
There was only three, and they made no mention of him shooting it one out.
Mm.
And I did not see the ghost Elvis, but
no,
by any means, no, no ghost Elvis. Well, we stayed at the Bass Pro Shops Pyramid.
Yeah, 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 you did.
And that was, there's a, you know what? All right, it wasn't like exotic resort expensive, but for Memphis, it was pricey. We're getting those sequins all over the ground. Like sequins off of a dress. Those were enough weird coincidences were happening that day. I forget what else, but like we're gonna like, so Collie, like, can you like at least vacuum? Like, give me the illusion of cleanliness.
Yeah.
But there's sequins, like a hooker's dress just exploded.
Oh, so they weren't there on purpose. It wasn't a design choice.
No, no. This is decorated like a woodland cabin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Red and silver sequins. Not part of that. And then Rachel's like, "Why were it was that one of the ADA suites, one of the wheelchair rooms?" And Rachel's like, "When I worked at a hotel, that was the suite that like the employees would use to party or hang out on breaks because they weren't the ones like those ones that were always still available."
Hmm.
So they'd go in those rooms. She's like, "Or maybe it's where the people take the hookers."
Hmm.
And I'm like, "That's ridiculous." And I was looking, I turned around, I'm like, "What kind of party would they have had in here?" As I said that, a balloon fell out of the rafters in the room. A balloon fell at that time. A balloon. As I'm like, what kind of? Why would they have a party in here? Balloon. Like, all right, guys.
They didn't like, clean again, that up before they handed it over to you.
When we got to the room, the door was open. I was like, hello. I'm like, hello. like it's the people we're supposed to have this room. They're like, oh, there's three maintenance people and they're doing something. I don't know what. Maybe trying to get all the balloons down, and they got all but one. Yeah, but I don't know what kind of party they were having. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so then we had a balcony. It looked like the setting of the Country Bear Jamboree stuff. Like, you know, a Bass Pro Shop, like they decorated.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like Memphis kind of swamp vibe. They had alligators in there. We were looking down over the part of the bayou that housed ladies' wear. And we took the elevator up to the top of the pyramid where there was a lounge and drinks. And then we saw a guy with a Bass Pro Shops, like, button-down monogram shirt escorting a lady around that looked like she did not work at Bass Pro Shops but was perhaps a woman of the evening. And Rachel's like, see what I tell you? maybe that's where they go and take the hookers.
What do you mean escorting her around? Like, that's what I thought was weird. Or just giving her a tour?
No, no, showing her the look, the overlook from the balcony.
Huh.
But that, why should I assume, you know? But so we saw that, and then went out to some, like, Cajun type of seafood, whatever. You get the big pan of crab legs and shrimp and everything.
Yeah.
Had some of that. And then, I don't mean to dominate the conversation. It's just been a week of events.
Yeah, no, I want to hear what's going on. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting over here staring at the ground. So you're the one out living life, so...
Well, you're out there getting strong. You're out there turning into an X-Man.
That's true, but it's not nearly as interesting as touring the way you're doing right now. So,
well, I think it is. I want to hear about these kettlebells. Did you gravitate to kettlebells because they sound like kettle chips?
No, I'm not a fan of kettle chips.
Wow. Okay.
Take it easy, kettle chips. They're too hard. Hard on the gums. They're
too hard. You're good for kettlebells, but kettle chips are too hard.
Yeah, I can't handle the kettle chips.
They hurt my mouth.
Yeah, I feel like someone's trying to prove a point or something. Like, take it easy. I don't need that. Just give me some good old Lay's salt and vinegar. I'll be fine.
All right. I didn't know. Wow. All right.
Sorry.
Nay on the kettle chips out of Dave. Yeah. I'm surprised. I was just making a joke about just the word kettle got you excited about anything. But I was wrong. So, and then I did the show in Memphis. Show was good, except for a table full of shitheads. Shitheads have been locked up for a year, too. True. And they opened, they're like throwing dollar bills at the stage. Real class act.
Hell yeah.
I called him out on it. And I'm like, this is just like pretty disrespectful what you're doing. Yeah. And the guy was like trying to hide behind a pole. I'm like, look at me, man. Don't be a coward. And I'm like, you guys are just drunk.
Why were they throwing dollars?
Because they were just drunk and didn't know how to be at a comedy show. Mm-hmm. You know, like I saw in a story or something, like I could tell it was one of the guys. Because in the story, it's like a guy, he's like a picture of a drink cart at like 2 p.m, like getting ready for the Canane show. I'm like, you're doing it the wrong way. And because from that same account after the show, after I'd called those guys out, I got the guy messaged me and called me a cunt.
Ah.
I'm like, yes, I am the cunt.
Yeah.
Because I called you out for not knowing how to behave at a comedy show. It's my fault to assume people know how to behave at comedy shows at this point.
Yeah.
I thought it was common knowledge at this point of how to handle yourself.
Yeah.
But paper airplanes out of dollar bills. And they were throwing them at the opener, too. I was like, oh, you guys are just you're just shitty. Don't just stay home. Don't come to comedy shows.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty, man.
Yeah. Like I'm not trying to play around. I'm trying to get these jokes figured out. I'm not trying to play around with dickheads. So, but that was really the only run. The show was still good. Other than that table of jagoffs, so that show was all right. We were like around on Beale Street, Memphis. Kind of rough. A lot of people were like, "Be careful, look out!" Like, "Oh, we're in Memphis. Look out! Don't go here. Don't do that." Oh, okay. Saw a little music on Beale Street. Did some touristy stuff, went to Graceland. That was Memphis. Then we were back in Nashville. And what did we do? Went a little bike ride. Found live music capital, right? Nashville?
Yeah.
Or is it Austin?
Uh-huh. I think Austin has that moniker, but yeah.
Okay.
Nashville, too. It's pretty much live music capital.
All right. All the live music that's going on in Nashville. Somehow we see a karaoke bar that the band is just animatronic.
Ooh.
Called like Cross-Eyed Critters. And they got some, again, half-rate Country Bear Jamboree musicians on stage with their rickety eyes and scary head motions. And it's karaoke. And we're like, all right, well, we got to go see this. And we started off at a tiki bar called the Pearl Diver. It was a cool spot. I guess the bartenders were at the show. They had, I like it when bartenders are like, we're doing shots. You want a shot? Now, would you like a shot? Can we do a shot? Like, yes, we're all doing shots. We're getting liquored up.
The bartender was at your Nashville show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And so Yeah, and they were real fun. It was a good vibe. It was over in East Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so then we went over to Cross-Eyed Critters, and it is like, so, like I was saying, Nashville, like Bachelorette Party Central. And this is just, we walk in, and it was like Lady Fight Club in this place. Oh, it was just bachelorette parties or like country, like wannabe country superstars, like American Idol types. Mm-hmm. But everybody's just singing whatever country song about getting revenge on a man. Uh-huh. I was one of maybe two dudes in the place. And the energy was, it was hostile. We got some sirens going out here. We got fire trucks. Uh-oh, might have somebody. Somebody might be choking at Applebee's. I don't know what's going on here in Addison. So we go in there, and then Rachel's like, we're absolutely singing. I'm like, God damn it. So, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I gotta get a few more drinks to be able to sing. I'm not a singing guy. I don't like doing it. Rachel kicks it off. So, like I said, this is all like the, I carved my name into his pickup truck kind of singing. Like, female empowerment. Like, we don't need no men. And I'm like, I am sorry for the hardships. Yeah. It was either bachelorettes or divorcees. Mm. But either way, Rachel gets up and sings that, you know, that feminist power anthem about my baby takes the morning train and is doing like showgirl kicks across the stage. And I'm like, well, now they hate both of us.
She's doing the dancing and everything with it.
Oh, just and pointing out the band members and just really making a production of it, which is because it really is either like party singers or true people that want to be on American Idol. Like when you do karaoke in LA and it's people that are real singers and are just hitting the karaoke circuit like you'd hit the open mic comedy circuit.
Yep.
It was like that. And then Rachel's just banging it out, and I'm losing my mind because it's just, I got video of it. Video will go up.
Oh, man.
And she had a few more songs, and eventually, like, I think the hosts like her because she's like, oh, finally somebody is having fun at karaoke but also remember to put on a show. I did Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, threw some twirls and some points out while I was doing it.
There you go.
She signed me up for it. I didn't have a choice.
Do you believe I've never sang karaoke?
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, I've never done
You're a real even keel type of dude. I can't see you having the desire to belt out a tune.
I don't need that kind of attention.
will you ever, do you think?
I mean, I'm not like morally opposed to it. It's just, it's never, the opportunity has never aligned with the desire.
I get that. That makes sense. Like, you're there, but you're not into it, or the days you're in the mood. Like, I'm in a mood to sing. I'm not going to go looking for karaoke, but I'll sing in the car, you know?
Yeah. Now, maybe that's something I do need to do to kind of just put that on the old resume of life.
I mean, really, you know what it is? It's the same thing with like, comedy of, really, what do you got to lose?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's it. I think, you know, all the years of comedy has, you know, really sucked the desire for any other public speaking or public performance, you know.
That's how I feel, too. It's like, I don't need, there's no, this isn't lacking in my life, being on stage.
Yeah.
I just actually see people that are very good singers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have this. This is your place. Or the people are having a great time being up there. I'm like, yeah, I'm just wasting time.
Now, I would be into, I think live band karaoke is what would push me over the top.
Oh, now, not the Cross-Eyed Critters? You're too good for the Cross-Eyed Critters?
But no, if I could sing in front of an actual band, I think that would be fun. Yeah, I mean, the animatronic would be fun, too. Who am I kidding? But yeah, just to go up there, you know.
They kept a solid machine. Beat.
So they were actually animatronic? Or were there people in costumes?
Yeah, there was like a bear on a stand-up bass.
How do they
there was
do that?
Some, like a fox that was clearly supposed to be... What's that?
How do they make them play?
No, they just kept playing the same motions over and over again.
Oh, so they weren't really playing. I was like, how you teach a puppet to play a guitar? I really thought they were... just
plug into their little robot brain.
I thought they had some sort of system where they figured out how to program them to play certain songs. So, okay, so the music wasn't really coming from them.
No, it just had a band that would stop and start when the music would go. And, well, I did see a band called Captured by Robots once years ago, and the premise was the guy would set up all this shit. He was would play all these, like, all ages punk venues, and would set up all these robots that he made himself that would play the actual music. And then he was tied up in the middle of stage. He was captured by the robots, and they would force him to sing the songs. And I remember watching, like, what an interesting premise. And it took so long for him to set up all these robots. And then it just, good idea and premise only. The music sucked. It was just, you know, a giant stuffed bear banging cymbals together and like, oh, this is bad music. I like the idea, but this is only good for maybe one or two songs. I feel bad that you're driving around in a van and you have to be the roadie for all these robots and sing.
Yeah, that's rough.
But then the guitar player was an actual pig that somebody put a badge on, which I was like, wow, in Nashville, bold move. Like, you made the pig a cop.
Uh-huh.
In Nashville, where it's all Yeehaw America. Like, there was, like, clown patriots walking around. Ugh. Like, the full, like, I'm 100% American and come and take my guns and, like American flag shorts smoking cigars. Like, cartoons of patriots.
What is that?
Like, full Ben Garrison cartoons.
Jeez.
So that's Nashville. It's the South, man. So the fact that they put a badge on the pig to make him a cop. But he had one. His range of motion was his head would go side to side and he would strum his guitar. But then at one point he would blink real slow and it was haunting. Maybe I had some drinks. But man, the one long blink that he was like, and you can like, because it's all on a timing frame, like that long blink every time I'd catch him.
No thanks.
It weirded me out.
Yeah, that shit weirds me out, man. I think it's because I watched Poltergeist when I was way too young. That fucking whatever toy that was in Poltergeist.
Clown.
Scared the shit out of me. And I still don't. Yeah. Man, we're tapping into some shit now. I've never been a big fan of animatronic shit, and I think that's why. What was that pizza place? What was they were the competitor to Chuck E. Cheese.
Showbiz Pizza,
and they had a band.
They had the band.
I wanted no part of those assholes.
Like, no Nobody thanks. Did. Nobody yeah, no ever thing. Looked at that and was like, this is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
At no point. No. Somebody, was it Luke Fields? Was saying he was in a bidding war. Somebody was saying they were in a bidding war for the last, like, operating Showbiz Pizza Band animatronics.
I could see that. I think he's into, and like, some arcade games and stuff like that.
Yeah, and somebody, whoever did get them, they're just in a barn somewhere, and they programmed to play, like, heavy metal. That'd be worth looking up. That'd be worth looking up now.
Yeah, now that.
But he was like, when he lost the eBay bid to whoever turned him into the thing, a heavy metal band. But so that was our last night in Nashville. Then we went out to Louisville for the show. Wound up being great. I know I was being a little bitch about it, but it was an outdoor show, and it was a great time. And I didn't get all the names. People gave me gifts. People gave me cool posters. And hand screen art, it was very nice. It is not necessary. Our pal from Louisville Vegan Jerky Company came out.
Oh, yeah. John Stevenson. Steven. Good dude.
Yeah. John Stevenson, Steven Johnson, mm-hmm. John Stevenson.
I think it's John Stevenson. He sent me like a whole case of that. He brought a case one time last time I was
home. Yeah, he got me a bunch, and so many people are like, nice gift. Very. I'm sorry if I'm not screwing up names, but it was very kind of everybody, and the show was good, and a lot of people were asking about who the openers. The first opener was Reed Sedgwick. Second opener was Stephen Wilbur.
Right on. Yeah, I know Reed.
But
Right on.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, who's that opener? So, yeah, Reed crushed it. Steven's just a fucking psycho, and I loved it. But then that was fun. It was a good time. And then Saturday night, we just kind of, well, this is what happened. All right, Louisville, last stop in the South.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing laundry. We weren't making any hard plans for Saturday night. It was kind of worn out from partying and everything. Finally, we're like, oh, we'll leave the hotel. We'll just walk around where we're at. Well, it was like the opening weekend of whatever baseball team or some big weekend for their minor league team there. And so that was letting out. All these people were like, everything's closing because we eat late. I finally was like, oh, shit. All right, well, there's Royals Hot Chicken. You'll be happy, Dave.
Okay.
We go to Royals Hot Chicken. I'm like, they got a crispy tofu. Fine, I'll get the crispy tofu with the hot thing. The guy's like, all right, well, this is the last order of the night, so technically it has to be to go. You have to eat on the patio. That's fine. So they give us our order. They're closed. I open it up. It's chicken. They gave me chicken.
Ah.
I ate that fucking chicken, Dave.
Really?
It was good. And then Rachel had about 3 bites of hers, and all of a sudden she's like, I can't eat any more fried chicken. I'm fucking sick of fried food. So I ate hers, too. So I had 2 chicken sandwiches. The South was not going to let me leave without letting me eat chicken.
So you didn't eat any good stuff in Nashville? You didn't go to Big Bed Breakfast?
No, somebody else had hit me up about it. Okay. I can't.
You're lost, buddy.
I can't do the massive meals. I know, and I've been to Big Bad Breakfast or had it in Birmingham.
Right,
I know. It's good.
Okay.
I know it's good.
3 types of gravies, homemade jams and jellies. Come on.
I know, man. We went to some place in Memphis that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Just little biscuit sandwiches and everything were tasty.
Okay.
I ate good stuff. I didn't make note of what was what, but I had chicken, Dave. I had hot chicken. And their hot chicken was good. Their sides at Royals, oof.
No good.
Like coleslaw. How do you make coleslaw where it just turns into like, are you just using this to hold up wallpaper? Like, what's the point of this coleslaw?
Was it too runny? Too soupy?
It just, even if it's soupy, it just had no flavor to it.
Oh, yeah.
It was just the flavor of the cabbage.
Get a season,
which
that
is
shit,
not a
man.
Flavor.
Coleslaw is so easy to make. It's just mayonnaise and red wine vinegar and spices and cabbage. That's it.
I don't think it had any of that.
Probably didn't season it well.
I think it was cabbage in skim milk. I think is what they gave me.
Yeah, that always pisses me off when restaurants phone in the sides. Because
I like slaw.
I love good sides of all types. I like slaw. I like beans. I like the collard greens. I like corn, whatever. But, yeah. And some restaurants are like, well, we phone that in because we don't want people coming here for the sides. You come here for whatever we're known for. But it's like, yeah, but what?
You're known for food.
Here.
You're a restaurant. So you're known for food.
You're already making this shit. Why not just make it as well as you can?
Yeah,
that pisses me off.
Chicken was good, but
phone in the sides. You know, sometimes it rains on your birthday. Sometimes the line for coffee wraps around the building. Sometimes gas goes up 10 cents a gallon. Sometimes life stinks. The good news? You don't have to. Because Native has your back. Native cares. They're about stopping the stink the right way. That's the Native difference. You probably already know about Native's legendary aluminum-free deodorant, but have you tried their body wash, their toothpaste? They also have mineral-based sunscreen. Yes, Native now has broad-spectrum SPF 30 sunscreen for your face and your body. It's lightweight, absorbs quickly, and you can choose between unscented or coconut and pineapple. Native's on a mission to overhaul your entire hygiene routine by putting the care back in self-care, with products carefully made to work against odor that are made with simple ingredients and smell great. You can get their deodorant or body wash in amazing scents like coconut and vanilla, citrus and herbal musk, lavender and rose, and many more. You can even build your own personalized product bundles, mix and match 3 of your favorite scents and keep them on rotation so you have something for every occasion. Stay fresh, stay clean with Native. by going to nativedeo.com/boogie or use promo code boogie at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's Native DEO, short for deodorant, nativedeo.com/boogie or use promo code boogie at checkout for 20% off your first order. One more time, nativedeo.com/boogie. Let's talk about Green Chef. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow recipes, perfect for keto, paleo, plant-powered, whatever you're into. If you're just trying to eat a more well-balanced diet, Green Chef could work for you. Everything is hand-picked, featuring organic veggies, high-quality proteins, delivered to your door, pre-measured, and mostly prepared in insulated packaging. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box, so you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. They've sent me some of this stuff. What have I had recently, though? A few weeks ago, I had the barbecue chicken with pineapple salsa. There you go. Monterey Jack smothered chicken. I remember that being great. Even had some Korean beef bulgogi. Bulgogi? Am I saying that right? Yeah. Yeah, but I've been having fun with this stuff. Like I said, they send it all to you. Everything's portioned out, so there's no waste. That's the one thing I do hate. I love cooking, but I do hate when I got too much of this left over, not enough of that left over, not quite enough to make more. But not the deal with Green Chef. They send you exactly what you need. They send you the recipes. There's even pictures of what it's supposed to look like. Oh, boy. It's really, really convenient. And here's what you do. Go to greenchef.com/90boogie. That's greenchef.com/90boogie. Use code 90boogie to get, you guessed it, $90 off, including free shipping. Are you kidding me? 90 bucks off and free shipping? Again, greenchef.com/90boogie. 90boogie. greenchef.com/90boogie. 90 bucks off, free shipping. There you go. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well.
But anyway, so I had two chicken sandwiches, and then we went out and met with my cousin at some bar. Like, there was this area of, like, I don't know if it was a college nearby or whatever. Like, it was, like, young people, and we wound up at the bar. They're like, oh, I think this is the hookup spot.
Bardstown. Were you in Bardstown?
We weren't. Area? We were going to make it down there. You couldn't get a Lyft anywhere. Nobody's driving Lyft anymore. Mm. So we stuck by the hotel, which is, like, downtown or Whiskey Row or whatever.
Okay.
But so we're sitting there talking, and it got, like, I've never seen an actual pickup artist in real life, and we all think we witnessed that sitting there.
Really?
Because there was, like, a dude that was, like, I was too old to be there, but I was also not trying to hook up. We're just trying to find a place to meet up with my cousin and his wife were there.
Your cousin, just to have a drink. Does he live in Louisville?
Cincinnati. They came down for a weekend, to the show and had a little nice meal out for them. So they're fun. But so we're already kind of looking. I was making fun of dudes who tuck their ears into their hats before. And Rachel's like, I never thought I saw it. And there's a guy. There's a guy with his ears tucked into his hat. He's got a soul patch. Like, old. Like, and far be it for me to criticize, but like, this guy was like 1998 Blink-182 super fan style. But clearly floating around the late 40s, 50 years old age. Had a mohawk under the hat with the ears tucked in and the soul patch, and him and just some other dude in, like, kind of golf casual wear. Eye on the scene, just kind of hanging around. So we're sitting on this little bench. All of a sudden, we hear this guy go, ladies, check it out. Tom Cruise right here. And he's trying to, like, introduce his third friend, saying he looks like Tom Cruise. And it's definitely, this guy was definitely like a Middle Eastern or Latino guy with Tom Cruise's haircut was the best, was the closest that was going on. But like backwards hat, ears tucked guy was like, Tom Cruise, huh? Check it out, huh? Look, right, just like Tom Cruise. Hey, what are your five favorite movies, huh, girls, huh? What are your five favorite movies? What, that movie? You can't like that movie, like doing all the negging and all that stuff. It was like, and right away, I looked at my friends. I was just like, it got real rapey over here. You guys want to go find another table? And so we got up and left. We turned around. We watched the girls that these guys were trying to talk to immediately get up and leave. And we're like, thank God for you leaving. That's a smart move. But then seeing the three dudes, I'm like, oh, I think that's like a pickup artist. And he's trying to get the other dudes, like these other kind of quiet, you know, kind of nerdy looking dudes. And like I said, like golf casual wear. But this guy thought he was the cool one with his hat, with his, you know, soul patch and everything. Like, I'm going to break the ice with these ladies. And was just shouty and doing the negging. And I'm like, oh, I think we thought it was actually the dude Mystery from that show, The Pickup Artist.
I don't know that. I don't know that show.
Remember that there was a show called The Pickup Artist on VH1 or something. I don't know how long ago.
No.
And it was that guy. It was the guy. He did all that. He would go into bars and he would dress like a fucking idiot. And he would always like, you need to neg women. You need to make them feel inferior. So you need to like act like what they like isn't cool and let them, you know, mess with their self-esteem. And like it was widely mocked. Like this guy just, anybody, doesn't matter if you look ridiculous. Any attention's good attention. I'm like, well, no, this guy looked ridiculous from the get-go when we walked in. And then he did all those things. And he kind of looked like that dude, Mystery. So we were looking him up, but apparently Mystery is the guy's name. He lives in Toronto, and this was.
Could you imagine being one of those dudes? You imagine the amount of energy you burn just doing that kind of bullshit and just, ugh.
I mean, think about, incels are a real thing, and incels are. This like seems the last stage before you're an incel is like, I guess I'll hire somebody that's going to teach me how to be cool around women. Like if you're just that clueless and in the dark and you don't know what makes a cool guy, let me hire this Kid Rock impersonator to stand with me at a bar and break the ice.
That just sounds awful.
Yeah, I didn't hear the other guys talk at all. All I heard was this guy just start talking way too loud for the space that he was in. And we left, and I think the girls he was talking to immediately said, like, yeah, this guy sucks. And they walked away, and the guy, like, I guess made, like, the jerk-off motion. Like, whatever, who needs these chicks? Like, clearly you did. You approached them. Ugh. And it was, like, the classic behavior of, like, who needs you anyway? You did. You're the one who went towards them. But it was just it was real slimy vibes at this place.
That's the last guy on earth I'd want to hang out with.
It was. That was that Louisville wouldn't let me leave without seeing that and making me eat chicken. They held me down.
That's crazy that you said Tom Cruise while you're in Louisville. The guy said, look at Tom Cruise. My brother lives in Louisville, and he's lived in a few different places in Louisville. But about 10 years ago, he lived not kind of right behind Bardstown Road, kind of the cool drag part of town. And his next-door neighbor was Tom Cruise's uncle. That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, he said that Tom Cruise used to spend the summers there when he was a teenager. Well, yeah.
Really?
Weird. Weird connection there.
Where's Tom Cruise even from?
No idea. Could not
tell you. He just showed up.
Yeah,
he just showed up in Risky Business.
Was that his first movie, first role?
I don't know, maybe The Outsiders. Hmm. You know the story about The Outsiders house, right? It's a museum. No. It's now a museum in Tulsa, and it's owned by, like, the dude from Slipknot or something.
Really?
All right, there's a few things to look up right now, Dave. I'm going to look up. First up, Outsiders Museum.
I'll look up where Tom Cruise is from.
Well, we can't both just be looking stuff up. It's bad radio.
Yeah, that's true. I'm doing it anyway.
It's bad podcasting. Well, Outsiders Museum. No, it's not. It's one of the guys from House of Pain.
Oh, okay. What, Everlast. Is it Everlast?
No, it's Danny Boy O'Connor. It's the other guy from House of Pain.
Freak it, funk it, backseat trunk it. Your girl steps up, I'm smacking the hoe.
You sure you don't want to go to karaoke?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I should now.
You don't want to throw jump around and blow people's minds?
Oh, man. Tom Cruise was born in Syracuse, New York.
That'll get your heart rate going better than that treadmill. We'll let you bring kettlebells. You could do your kettlebells while you sing karaoke and be the scariest fucking thing anybody's ever seen.
Tom...
Just lifting kettlebells and screaming, jump around at people and watch them just sit there paralyzed with terror.
Tom Cruise was born in Syracuse, New York. Both his parents are from Louisville, Kentucky. Story adds up.
All right. Yeah. Well, the guy did not look like Tom Cruise, who we're looking at. But anyway, so that was that. We got up to old Addison, Illinois after that. And so, yeah, sorry to Bogart the whole first half of the podcast with my last week
there. I don't care.
But shows were good. Many thanks to the folks that came out. I go to Fort Wayne tomorrow. Sold out. Fort Wayne's always been fun. So
play at the Tiger Room?
Yeah, the old Tiger Room.
Had one of the worst shows in my career at the Tiger Room. But good luck.
Really?
It was just, it was snowy. It was on a Sunday when they're not normally open. And there were 7 people there. And it's just... Oh, I always hate when that happens.
Oh. Yeah,
the guy paying me after the show. I'm just like, sorry, man. sorry, you took it on the chin on my account.
Yeah, I mean that's just circumstantial. Then that's not the crowd wasn't bad or anything, right?
No, just one of those things. Well, good times, buddy. So things are good out there on the road. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, what's going on with yourself, man? How have you been?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm just goofing off, man. Finally watched Fast and Furious. Fast and the Furious?
It can be both.
Yeah, I watched the original.
Okay.
Well, I watched
Paul Walker.
I watched 30 minutes of it, and then it was so bad, dude. It was such an awful movie.
Whoa!
I don't understand what people are doing out there.
You ever watch? You like baseball, right?
Yeah.
You ever watch a boring baseball game?
No.
It's never been boring. Baseball's never been boring to you.
Not to me. I appreciate the nuance. It's just, I get it. If I was 13 years old, it'd be my favorite movie of all time. But I'm cursed with having decent taste and common sense, and I was just like, yeah, this is awful.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cursed with fucking Walton Family Christmas is cursed with decent taste over here. I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't know this was going to be the last episode of the Boogie Monster.
That touch of nerve? Oh, it's so stupid. It was so bad.
But what did you think it was going to be?
Well, I just thought it would be better than that. I made it to the part where Paul Walker saves Vin Diesel from the cops, and they run from the cops, and then there's a house party, and Vin Diesel gets pissed off at all his boys because they all left him, and Blondie here's the only one who had my back, so y'all be nice to him. And then I couldn't take anymore. I get it. I get it.
Oh, I don't think you get it, Dave.
The cars
are. Do you know that
neat?
This eventually turns into them driving stolen cars across the tundra while a nuclear submarine chases them?
What?
Exactly.
I didn't see the plot going in that direction.
Of course you didn't. Which is why I beg you to stick with it. This is my Lord of the Rings. This is my Game of Thrones, is the Fast and Furious.
Oh, it's so cheesy. And also,
sure is.
I don't care about those. I don't care about the little tuner cars. Now, if they were all driving like muscle cars, classic
buddy,
cars or something, did they mix up the cars?
You didn't even get to the part where Vin Diesel takes out his muscle car. In the first movie, he's got a muscle car.
Oh, really? What kind? What kind of car is it?
I don't know. Some big son of a bitch. But that's Super like sport? His big, like, when shit's going down, he's got to break that out towards the end. No more fucking around with the tuners.
I was impressed with the choreography, the vehicular choreography, like when they were setting up the drag races, just how everybody knew how to drive in as a group and everybody knew where to park, and that was pretty neat. I'd like to witness that in real life.
That's okay. This is the stuff, like, special effects are one thing, but when it's just car stunts, I think car stunts are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Fast and Furious stuff is definitely special effects, but some of it is just, we are destroying large numbers of vehicles for these stunts.
Yeah.
And that's cool to me. Like, it's just a big, silly action movie. And I know it's corny, but I allow the corniness because cars are going to do crazy shit.
Yeah, you're right. I probably pulled the plug a little too quick. I mean, you're right. I knew what I was getting into. I didn't think it was going to be an Oscar caliber movie.
I would tell you to skip.
It was cheesier than I thought it would be, and I was just like, "Good Lord, I can't make it."
And that's a 20-year-old movie too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how I missed it all this years. All this years. There you go, Dave. All these years. I
think you could skip. I think you could skip forward to probably Fast and Furious.
Which one's the fourth one? What's Tokyo Drift? Is that a good one?
They're in Japan.
They're in Japan. They're in Tokyo.
Yeah, and they're drifting.
Hence the name. Hence the title. Okay.
Yeah.
I never did understand the drifting. I don't know how they do that.
I don't either, and it's still kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
But man, it's the new one's out now, and I'm staying next to an IMAX. I might just wander over there by myself today to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fun. It's more fun to share the joy of a ridiculous movie with people when you're in theater.
So the new one is like, number 9?
Yeah, F9.
9 of these. Damn. Is that what's the franchise with the most sequels, like, in recent memory? Of like mainstream movies, not like porn or some weird B movie series, but I can't imagine a franchise having more than 9. That's got to be the leader, right?
Well, listen, these, you know, Vin is still getting into trouble, mm-hmm. or he gets out of trouble, and then The Rock is like, "We need you back in." And he's like, "I can't. I got
right." The Rock is. When family. Does he show up? When does The Rock show up?
I think that's about the fourth one, I think, maybe.
That had to have affected Vin Diesel's character, because Vin Diesel, by all accounts, from what little I
you
saw,
he's are asking the alpha questions dog. That are solved within watching the franchise.
The alpha dog gets dethroned when The Rock shows
very
up.
Very much so. Very much. This is a whole battle. And then you got Statham that comes in. The last movie before this one.
Is he was in
just
those?
It was just Statham and The Rock.
I didn't know Statham was in those. I like him.
And you got Idris Elba coming in.
No, he's a cool dude. Okay. Maybe you're. Buddy. I was a little quick on the trigger there.
The first ones are pretty. You know, they're more dreamboaty.
Mm-hmm.
You get into the meat of the sandwich. Get into your Fast and Furious, your Fast 5, your Fast and Furious 6. I think that's going to get you on board with some of this stuff.
I think also,
and
I've
then
never,
you can go back and appreciate the origin story.
I've never given a shit about that culture. That tuner cars. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
like I'm not saying those people are dumb for being into it. I get any type of car culture. I can see the different little subcultures and niches. But just for some reason, that just always like these guys. Here come the Honda Civics. Zoom zoom. Okay, fellas.
Yeah, because they're always just nerds in a parking lot, like quack, quack, like just their Coke cans rattling off the back of it.
Yeah, I never got it. I'm not saying it's, you know, I'm not shitting on it, but, and I'm not a car guy, but if I was going to spend a lot of time and money on cars, I just feel like it'd be something a little cooler than a Subaru or a Kia.
There's tanks. There's submarines.
No.
One of them has like a Ferrari that drives from a showroom inside of a skyscraper onto another skyscraper.
Can you tell me as concise as possible? I've had a few whiskeys, by the way.
Live your life.
As concise as possible. I can't speak. How do they get drag racing in South Los Angeles to submarines? How do they get there? How do submarines come involved?
Dave. Okay. I'm going off memory here.
Uh-huh.
Now, what had happened, you know, Vin Diesel's character, like, okay, now Paul Walker's tied up with him, even though he's a cop.
Paul Walker's a cop?
Did you not watch the movie?
No, I told you I turned it off 30 minutes in. I didn't know he was a cop.
I can't continue this conversation until you at least watch a little bit more. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Fuck. If I'd known he's a cop, I'd have stuck around a little longer. I like his story.
Yeah, he's undercover infiltrating the street racers.
I thought it was like a Footloose situation where he's the new kid in town and he's just trying to be accepted and he wants to drag race too.
No, he's a cop also, and he's the best street racer, Dave. And then there's betrayal because he's brought into the family by Vin Diesel. And when you're Vin Diesel, families, when you're here, your family's like, they got a whole Olive Garden thing going on. And so then it's betrayed because he's a cop, but then he still sticks up for his friends to the cops. And then Vin Diesel sort of works for the cops. And then there's organized crime, which then because Vin Diesel has to get away from the cops, he escapes to Cuba. And then one of them set in Cuba and they're racing old 57 Chevys souped up around Cuba.
No way.
Yeah,
doing
dude.
Cuba racing?
You got to watch the movies. There is so much going on.
Well, I feel like a real idiot.
I mean, most people feel real good about themselves for thinking the Fast and Furious is stupid, and then all had their thumbs up their ass about Game of Thrones the whole time.
Never seen.
Do you
want
to know how Paul Walker, being an undercover cop, infiltrating street racers in Long Beach, by the way?
Oh, was that Long Beach?
Turns into international terrorism, but still somehow cars involved. You watch The Fast and the Furious.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little pretentious. Thought I was a little above it, but
you're making a good case. I've sold myself short on many things for feeling the same way. And finally, I was like, wait a minute, this trailer. It's definitely a see it in the movie type of thing versus at home.
Oh, really?
Well, it's a big, stupid action movie. And when you go and see it on a big screen, it's a lot more fun for that kind of movie. Not to say you can't enjoy it sitting at home. I don't know what, you know, have a little, smoke a little dube and get into it.
Well, I feel like a real doofus.
All the questions you have will be answered. Oh, and here you go. Highest number of films?
Uh-huh.
James Bond.
Oh, how many?
Or at least I'm looking at the highest grossest franchises in film series. Highest grossing, number one's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And see, I tried watching that shit and I didn't get it. So,
yeah.
To each their own.
Yeah.
We got Star Wars, we got Harry Potter. But James Bond is 26 movies. Fast and Furious is 10. Marvel
has
23
movies.
Never
seen one James Bond movie. Never seen one.
Really?
Yeah, don't give a shit.
What are you watching over there?
I think I'm xenophobic against British people. And I think that's okay because they're also white. So I think I'm fine with that. But I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not proud of this, but anytime I turn on a movie and they got British accents, I'm like, no thanks.
What about Jason Statham?
He punches and kicks. If you punch and kick.
What do you think James Bond does? In a suit, no less.
Drinks martinis.
In a suit. Saves the world every time.
Does he? Yeah, that's never
interest me at all. There's 26 movies.
Yeah.
If he didn't save the world, that would be the end.
I bet I couldn't even name a James Bond movie.
You just did. James Bond.
What's New Pussycat? Is that a James Bond movie?
I think so.
Shaken, Not Stirred?
No, it's Golden Pussy.
Golden Pussy.
Yeah, see? Golden Pussies.
Golden Eye? Is that one? Golden Eye?
Pussy Eyes.
Pussy.
Gold Pussy, it's Pussy Eyes.
Oh, man. But isn't that like, that's just like, it's just like hockey for me. I should like hockey. It's fast, it's violent. I don't give a shit. I know I probably should enjoy James Bond movies, but why don't I give a shit? Is it the culture? Was I not raised in a James Bond house? Is it my dad's fault?
You know, my dad, I think some of it has to do with dad stuff. Some of it does have to do like, oh, British guy drinking a martini in a suit. Who cares? But
yeah,
then
it just seems boring to me.
It started to be fun because of all the little gadgets he had.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel Craig is just a good actor.
Yeah, I liked him.
And,
it was just
big dumb stunts. It's like Mission Impossible. It's big crazy stunts. It's a movie, it's made for what? It's not like going to get my feelings going. It's not like you're going to sit, you're going to eat popcorn, you're going to have a good time.
Why did I love shitty 80s action movies when I was a kid, but now I don't give a fuck. I've never seen a Mission Impossible movie. And I'm sure
when you're
good.
A kid, those are fun. It's hard to be an adult and be like, oh, I'll watch an action movie now. Uh-huh. Like, why should I? And then you're like, oh, because it's fun and it's okay to have fun.
Yeah.
What do you watch?
I don't know.
You don't even know.
I don't even fucking know, dude.
What's the last movie you watched?
I watched a trailer today that got me a little too excited. Yeah, you heard
for
about
what?
This Many Saints of Newark? You heard of, do you know what that is?
No.
Kyle. Many Saints of Newark.
Many
movie.
Saints, like tiny saints?
The many, M-A-N-Y. The Many Saints of Newark.
Rarely has your accent gotten me confused. I'm like, many saints, tiny saints.
Sorry. Yeah, that's on me. I'm sorry.
Manny?
You ain't ever seen the Many Saints.
I think I should have known. I've been in the South long enough.
It's a movie that comes out this fall, and it's a prequel to The Sopranos. James Gandolfini's real-life son is playing young James Gandolfini, and I am stoked. They dropped the trailer today, and oh boy. Although the main character, James Gandolfini's real-life son, has almost no lines in the trailer. So
and
that's
Joe
got
Diaz
me a little concerned
it, huh?
That maybe he's not a very good actor.
Who knows? Maybe they just don't want to blow it out. We got look at this. You got Ray Liotta.
Uh-huh.
That guy's ominous.
You got Vera, what's her name? I really like her. She's
Vera
good.
Farmiga.
She's good.
She's a British lady.
Is she British?
Oh no, she's an American lady.
Oh, thank God.
I thought she was one of those folks that yeah, like you just find out like
me.
Oh, every actor you've liked so far has been Australian. You had no idea.
Yeah. You know what I did watch the other day? Speaking of Ray Liotta and speaking of movies, I haven't seen this movie in years. I watched Hannibal, the sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
I watched that recently also.
I've seen it before. I did not realize what a fucking bizarre movie that is. If you think about that movie, like there's really some crazy shit going on. There's public disembowelments. There's man-eating pigs. Disfigured billionaires. There's a tableside lobotomy. That movie's fucking nuts.
Wait a minute. Did I watch this one?
There's Red Dragon is also in that series with Ed Norton. But
what's
Hannibal,
wrong with my memory? I just watched this movie and
it's
do
insane.
Not remember it.
It's when it's after it's set obviously after Silence of the Lambs and Dr. Lecter escapes. Well, now he's living under an alias.
I watched Red Dragon. That's the one.
Red Dragon,
watched
not as good. I didn't care for that one as much. Hannibal is nuts. Well, there's no spoilers in a movie that old, but it's fucking nuts.
Don't spoil it for me, man. Huh?
One of the other Gary Oldman's character plays this wheelchair bound disfigured billionaire, and he was one of Hannibal's early victims. Well, he has now dedicated his life for revenge, and he's bought or raised these man eating pigs. He's got a crew of henchmen over in Sardinia that are raising these giant fucking vicious pigs that get even more vicious when they hear the sound of human screams. So he, for years, he's been cultivating this transaction, and now he's trying to figure out how to get these pigs over to America. And he's gonna capture Hannibal Lecter and feed him alive to these pigs.
Import his man-eating pigs?
Yeah, yeah. There's vet records and visa paperwork, and he's gonna capture Hannibal. He's got a bounty out on Hannibal. He's gonna get him and feed him alive to these pigs. He cuts Ray Liotta's head open and does
a
lobotomy.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's crazy.
God damn it. That one sounds like a bit much, if I'm being honest. That one sounds like a bit much.
It's a wild ride. There's no souped up Toyota Corollas, but it's pretty cool.
I mean, it'd be cooler if there was also cars.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll give the tiny saints of New Jersey a try if you give Fast and Furious another try.
Yeah, I will. I don't know if I can commit to all nine, but I'll at least finish the pilot episode.
Yeah, you got to give it more than a half hour to turn into a movie. And then they're going to do cooler shit with the cars as it goes on.
I don't know how submarines get involved. Now you've piqued my interest.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. If you want to know, you got to watch.
Hmm.
That's why I don't ask questions about Game of Thrones or Star Wars. I could watch it myself. I'm not going to. As ridiculous as Fast and Furious is, it's set in the reality we are in.
Okay. I
and
you.
Science fiction somehow always takes me out of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it just says, I don't know if that's like a, if I got a weak imagination or what, but I'm sometimes like, well, we're on planet X Blorp and this, no, nope.
Okay.
Don't care.
Is there any science fiction or fantasy movie that you do enjoy?
Let me think. I have enjoyed, I did like the original Star Wars when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I bet that I got burned so bad as an adult when whatever that first one was back with what was the racist? Misa.
Jar Jar Bings.
Yeah, whenever that was the first one back, and I saw it, I'm like, "Oh, this is a little kid's movie."
Yeah,
and so I tapped out at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Star Trek movies, like the '80s Star Trek movies, I remember seeing because my dad was into it, and I thought those were like just as one-offs as movies. They were fun to watch.
Never seen a Star Trek movie or an episode.
Never watched the TV show.
Mm-mm.
The movies were fun enough. I'm sure you can consider some horror movies in the realm of fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But off the top of my head, straight science fiction, I can't think of any. I have enjoyed them. I don't gravitate towards them for fun.
Yeah, same here. And I don't know why, because I love all this, all the stuff we talk about on this show for the most part. I love paranormal. I love all that stuff. But when you tell me science fiction, maybe the word fiction, I'm like, oh, it's not real. Never mind. Somebody made this shit up. Unlike all the believable cases that we dig into here. You know, I don't want the fake shit. I want the real stuff.
I don't want that bullshit. Anyway, here's a blurry picture of Bigfoot sucking off of a Loch Ness monster.
Could be real. You don't know.
Call him the Cock Mess Monster after that.
Yeah, I've never given a shit, really, about the fantasy or sex. There's a few that I like. I like Neverending Story. I like whichever Star Wars movie had the Ewoks. I like the Ewoks because they look like little bitty Sasquatches. That makes
Return of the
happy.
Jedi, yeah, they were fun. Yeah. And I was a kid at the time those came out, so I was like, oh, neat.
And by the way, I'm not shitting on people who do like this stuff. I'm more questioning my own, you know, my own taste of like, why aren't you into this, Dave? And I don't know. If it's not about karate or Bigfoot, I find it very hard to concentrate.
Listen, man, you got focused tastes. Mm-hmm. Weren't Ewoks like weird and horny or something? Or am I making that up? Were they like?
I almost spit out my drink.
Were they like horny in that movie or something? They always seemed like.
Yeah,
their eyes were always like, if we're not fighting, we're fucking.
Like they were 2 seconds away from humping somebody's leg, like a little.
Like they really, yeah, like they were good to go at any minute. Like they were either ready to fight, or if once the fight, then they were just partying and drunk and dancing. I'm like, all these things. Like there's no shortage of Ewoks for a reason. There's a reason there's a lot of them.
I like those little bastards.
Just watching them, just a little fucking ball of fur humping behind a tree.
Oh, I just made this connection. Were they somehow related to Chewbacca? Because they kind of looked alike. They were hairy.
I mean, I haven't seen that movie in some 35 years. So
Chewbacca was maybe the Sasquatch looking fella. You know,
he was a Wookiee. They were Ewoks. Wookiee. I'm sure. Listen, somebody will correct us on this. Just as I had to correct you on Fast and Furious, there's no shortage of somebody letting you know what you got wrong about a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And God bless them. I mean, don't let it be your whole personality, but God bless you for being interested.
By the way,
let
me throw this out. If you know, we've never claimed to be authorities on any of this shit, and of course, you know, we welcome any fact checking. And on social media, you're more than welcome to correct our facts, but don't be a condescending dickhead about it, or else I'm going to bring that up. And I'll just leave that at that. If you want to be a condescending little fucking prick, expect to get called out on it. That's all I'm saying. Don't get your fucking feelings hurt because I called you a condescending dipshit. All right.
Did something happen specifically?
No, that's just kind of a general, you know, throw it out there. Those fucking little pricks.
Why don't you tell us exactly what the message said that really stirred you up?
What's
on this
worse
one?
Than a condescending little prick on social media? Oh, I'm a hater. That's in my handle. Oh, what a fun existence you have.
Oh, that's
suck,
I already booted.
Suck my ass.
I already booted some dude off of the Reddit that was on there, and he's just like always a jerk. And then he found me like. Fucking free speech, you give you a bunch of fucking cuck pussies for kicking me off. I'm like, yeah, you're not fun to be around.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to make you, yeah, I'm going to make you not around.
Yeah. Hard pass.
I'm not the United States of America.
Yeah.
I'm not the Constitution. I'm the guy who found the moderator for the Reddit. I'm like, this guy sucks. Can I kick him out? I'm like, yeah, cool.
Oh my God!
Fuck off, jerk! that's my whole thing. Just because you do have the right to be an asshole, it's been repeated. You know, freedom mm-hmm. of speech isn't freedom of consequences.
Yeah,
you have the right. You can come into the show and be an asshole, but it's my show, and I'll be like, all right, cool. Well, I'm gonna tell you you're a dick, and if I need be, I'll get you kicked out.
Yeah,
that's not free speech. That's not the right to protest. That's just you being a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a jerk, but then you don't get to be heartbroken that people don't want to be around a jerk. Yeah. Life's short. I don't have time for these fucking idiots.
No, exactly.
You want to come into every message board, be like, man, this show sucks. This sucks. I don't like when they do this. Like, think, oh, man, spend your time better. Then do better things with your life. I don't want to be the reason you're unhappy. Move on. I'm not sitting here looking at follower counts going, oh, God, we lost one. What do we do? It's like, hey, I get it. Patreon people, we see who, when people subscribe or when they unsubscribe, no harm, no foul. No. Thank you for the time you're around.
Yeah.
You know, I get if it's not the fact that we just talked about Tennessee and Fast and Furious this whole time. I get that it's maybe strayed from the course of what the Boogie Monster had promised initially.
Yeah. Plenty of other options out there, though. We appreciate you listening, but, you know, it's not at at any cost, we want to keep you. Like, you want to be a prick? Fucking go somewhere else. I don't give a shit. Couldn't possibly care less if you call me a... Oh, I got the same guy called me a cunt, but he didn't even have the balls to say cunt. He did the little asterisk over the... That's the other thing. I fucking hate that shit. People who fucking censor themselves when they want to be aggressive and vulgar. No, just say it. Just type out the whole fucking word, you cunt. I'm all right.
It's all right. We'll get into it off air. We'll cover it.
I just, you couldn't possibly imagine how little I give a shit about your
Boogie
take.
Monster, we dare you to like us. We'll make it
difficult. Oh, boy. Let's talk about Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply Safe. You know them, you love them. They're an award-winning home security system, so you know it's engineered with the latest technology you want to keep your family safe. But what really sets Simply Safe apart are its people. Highly trained security experts who are always there for you when you need them most. These are people who truly care about keeping you safe. When an alarm goes off, a person who cares will be there with a phone call to make sure you're okay. When an emergency happens, a person who cares will be there by getting fire and police responders to your front door right away. Even if you're just having a problem setting up the system, a person who cares will be there with you for a friendly chat and a quick resolution. The bottom line, when you need them most, Simply Safe is there 24/7 with people who care and experts trained to not only keep you safe, but to make you feel safe. So one of the many reasons U.S. News recently called Simply Safe the best home security of 2021. I use them. They're great, easy to set up, dependable, no fuss, no muss. To learn more about how Simply Safe can help protect you and your family, visit simplysafe.com/boogie today to customize your system and get a free home security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/boogie.
Hey, do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seals. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
Well, I had a topic here. Let's do the topic real quick. The government dropped their UFO report last Friday, and as expected, it's a whole bunch of nothing. It's just noncommittal. They're like, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. We don't know what it is. So there's our topic.
Well, think of just how much progress has been made, if you want to call it progress. The fact that the government is now acknowledging.
Exactly.
There's things we don't know that are flying around, and people are like, yeah, I guess so.
At least they're acknowledging it.
But how jaded is everybody? Oh, just fine, I guess there's aliens.
Exactly.
Like, still people that, like, think the election's stolen. Like, people that believe, like, again, trying to reconcile with being someone who enjoys conspiracy theories, but not, like... Oh, I was tongue in cheek. I was never going to like argue with somebody for real over it. Mm-hmm. But now the government's like, yeah, there are things we don't know. And if anything, it'll just make people go like, well, we've got to spend a few more billion on defense then. Maybe that's why they're low key trying to justify the defense budget over helping the rest of America.
Dude, I really infrastructure think that's
part of it. Budget everywhere else.
That's probably part of it. It's like, oh, we create this new category, this new task force, and now we can receive funding for that. And whether or not we use that funding, you know, to pursue this mission or not, at least we got the new money. One thing I did notice, they said it was real dry. I read the whole thing. It was so fucking boring and dry, just like what you would think a government report would be. But there was one part where they say no standardized reporting mechanism existed until the Navy established one in March of 2019. The Air Force subsequently adopted the mechanism in November 2020, but it remains limited to United States government reporting. Basically, they're saying until 2019, we didn't even have a protocol set in place to report upon these things.
Well, yeah, because you would look like a nut if you were like a Navy pilot, but being like, I don't know what I saw. And the term for it is only UFO. That's why they renamed it to UAP, like unidentified aerial phenomena, because that sounds less like I saw an alien. Because what's going to like, oh, we're going to trust you with our, you know, $1 billion jet fighters when you think you're seeing spaceships. So that's why they weren't safe to report it.
That's
what I had read anyway.
That's insane, though.
Let's go back to Tom Cruise. You're Top Gun, all right? You're a Maverick. You're hot shit in the sky. Remember the scene where the other guy, I forget what his name was, like whatever his like chicken finger, whatever call sign.
Mongoose, Iceman. Hold on, let me put my chewing gum.
Whichever one cracked up? Who cracked up? Was it Hot Dog? Who cracked up?
I think the Mongoose. I think Mongoose is the one that cracked up.
Goose was Maverick's co-pilot, and he died.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards?
He didn't crack up. He died.
Oh.
Another guy.
Val Kilmer was Iceman.
Yes, but do you remember the part where, like, a third-tier guy named, like, I don't know, flip-flops or whatever... He's up there, and he almost gets shot down, and then he gets all nuts and sweaty and panicked, and he hands in his wings.
I thought that was Mongoose, but yeah, that's I don't know what character that was.
There was no Mongoose, only Goose.
Oh, Goose!
Just a goose, like the actual bird. Did you watch more than 30 minutes of this movie?
There's still Mongoose.
It's just Goose.
Yeah, I don't know where I got Mongoose from.
Well, you got it from Goose, but it's not Mongoose. It's just Goose.
Dave, focus.
You're just adding shit.
No Mongoose.
I don't even know how Vin Diesel fit in those planes. Honestly, I think there are jet fighters at some point in Fast and Furious. But so he cracked up just from that, like, I can't handle the pressure. Now imagine you're that guy, but also you're like, I'm seeing UFOs. They're not going to let you fly those planes anymore, so you keep it to yourself. So that's why in 2019 they're like, all right, enough pilots are seeing stuff out there that we need to create a department where they're like, okay, I saw this. I'm not saying it's an alien, but I'm saying I don't know what it is, and it moved in a way that I have not seen aircraft move before. Mm-hmm. Like a safe place to report that kind of stuff. So that's why that only happened recently.
Yeah, this report's just a bunch of nothing. It was like something like 144 incidents reported between this certain time period, I think in the last 15 years or so. And they basically said, like, we can identify one of them. One of them was a deflated balloon. Okay, but you got no take on the other 143? No, we don't. Okay.
Well.
But yeah, at the very least, they're acknowledging, all right, we don't really know what these things are, so.
Yeah, UAPs. That's progress, UAPs, I guess. Now, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah, I don't like that. Why are they trying to rebrand?
Because Navy pilots don't want to be like, I saw a UFO, because then they just won't bring it up, because they'll sound crazy.
What's the difference? Unidentified flying object, unidentified, what is it, UAP, aerial phenomenon? What's the difference between an
because
aerial
UFO,
phenomenon
even
and
though,
a flying
even though
object?
You know what UFO stands for, it still connotes aliens and spaceships. Mm-hmm. Like anything that gets rebranded. Why? Well, because people have too many associations with this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, new Coke or whatever you want to talk about.
They said, our analysis of the data supports the construct that if and when individual UAP incidents are resolved, they will fall into one of five potential explanatory categories. And those categories are airborne clutter, Natural atmospheric phenomena. United States government industrial development programs. Foreign adversary systems. And then the fifth one is the catch-all other. So it's either
It's either
our government stuff that we're working on, prototypes. It's either China or Russia's stuff that they're working on. It's either birds and balloons, or it's wind, or it's other. Thanks. Okay. Now that clears it up.
Other meaning it's aliens. Yeah, we got aliens up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at least there's something there, so you could be like, I saw some shit, I don't know what it is. Is it, and it's, tell me what category, and they're going to be like, it's other, because I think it was a UFO.
But going back to the reporting system, that there was no protocol set into place till 2019. Think of, now, I've never been in the military. I don't believe you have either, but we hear things.
We don't talk about that. Classified.
But it's not ridiculous to imagine how detail oriented and maybe anal retentive the any government bureaucracy could be. There seems to be committees and task force and reports on absolutely anything imaginable within the broad umbrella of the United States government. There was never, until 2019, never a protocol for reporting seeing weird things up in the air from credible witnesses such as Air Force pilots or
no,
whomever.
which is why people, I think that's the whole thing. They kept seeing enough of them where they're like, all right, we need to acknowledge that some weird shit's going on. Because right now people are just like, we saw a thing, we don't know what it is. We saw a thing, we don't know what it is. Well, if enough people are seeing things and they're scared to report it and they're your own pilots, and what if it is foreign technology, but they think they saw a UFO, so they're not going to tell anybody. They were like, all right, well, here's your safe place to report mm-hmm. that you saw some shit that you don't know what it is, but we still need to hear about it.
But yet there's a logbook for every fire extinguisher owned by the U.S. government. Like,
'cause those are real.
It's just insane that they would never have some sort of protocol for reporting this shit until 2019.
Because nobody's going to agree. It's like you're a doctor. You're a head doctor at a hospital, but you keep seeing a ghost. Who are you going to tell to? Who are you going to say that to? You're going to tell other doctors? Oh, I'm seeing ghosts all the time.
If there's ghosts on my radar, like this shit's been on radar.
But it doesn't move in a way that makes sense.
Exactly. So why not make a fucking record of it? We have no idea what this could be. Let's at least...
They do have a record. The whole thing that came out was from like 2017 when they were talking about, like, we don't know what this is. We're seeing it move all over the place crazy.
No, but I'm saying have a system in play to where people can report this shit. That just seems so...
That's what they did. It just took a long time.
I know. I don't understand why it took that long.
Because people didn't believe in UFOs. Or maybe it's public. Before they would log it, but in secret. The government's not going to be like, oh, here's the UFO department. Come talk to us. But they would, I'm sure, secretly keep track of that stuff.
But it just seems, that just seems crazy. Here's a question. I wonder if there's been a recent poll. I'd love to know the results of a poll taken by Americans, by anybody. What are the percentage of people living on this earth that believe in the possibility of aliens? Like, I want to talk to the person that's like, nope. That's
crazy.
There's
lots of those people.
That's science fiction. You're crazy. Really?
Yeah, there's lots of those people.
I'd love to talk to those people.
Or if they exist, they're not coming here.
My point is, I don't think there's a... There shouldn't be the same stigma. I get, hey, I saw a fucking chupacabra. I saw a vampire goat. Okay, buddy. How much have you had to drink tonight? As opposed to, hey, maybe there's life on other planets inside our infinite, outside of our fucking galaxy. No.
They might agree to that, but they might also say there's not a chance they'd visit here.
Why wouldn't they? Based on what? Why wouldn't they visit another a huge planet?
Because, I don't know, why haven't you gone to City of Industry, Dave?
There's no record stores over there.
Because there's nothing for to offer you. You know it exists, yet you have no desire to go there.
I feel like an alien. I feel like there's stuff to offer. We have natural resources. We have oceans.
To who? For what? You don't know what they need.
But I'm saying at least they'd be curious to be like, what's going on over on Earth?
Why aren't you curious about what's going on in Lincoln, Nebraska right now?
Who says I'm not?
Me. I'm saying you're not.
I want to talk to the person who's like, no fucking way. Really? No, no way? No way that there could be life on other planets. Nope.
I don't know. I don't know about people who are like, there's no way there's life. I'm just saying people that, like, they can agree that there's life, there's no reason for them to come here. They're so advanced.
Mm-hmm.
If they've already developed ways to travel faster than the speed of light to get to other galaxies, and what the fuck do we have here? My phone's got 3 different lenses. They don't need anything here.
They're so beyond that that they're just not interested in what we're doing.
They don't need it.
Okay.
Not crawling into the enclosure with the mole rats at the zoo.
What's in here? Who cares?
I agree that there's mole rats. I don't need to know. I don't need to be up in their shit.
Oh,
I don't want to eat their food. I don't want to have sex with their ladies. I don't want nothing to do with these mole rats. Live your life, mole rats. You don't need to know who I am.
Leave me alone. Well, yeah, I guess this is progress. You know, if nothing else, the government's acknowledging that, yeah, there's some stuff out there. We don't know what it is.
That's what I'm saying, man.
But you know that they know so much more.
Maybe they don't. I don't know. They're spending a lot of money trying to know stuff, but who knows what they know? Who knows what they know?
You don't all know. Right. Hey, we got haven't done this in a while. Get a comic of the week this week.
Get an alien that says, you don't know me.
You don't know me. Comic of the week this week, friend of the show, friend of both of us, brand new special on YouTube, Rory Scovel. Live Without Rosco. Fear. Hey, dude, I watched his new special. Do you know the hook, the gimmick? I don't say gimmick because that sounds negative.
But no, it's all improvised, right?
Yeah, he did a week of shows at my beloved Relapse Theater in Atlanta. It's one of the places I started at. I love that place. I owe a lot of my comedic development to the Relapse Theater. And he did a week of shows. This was, I guess, before COVID, so he's kind of had this on the shelf for a little while. But anyway, did a whole week of shows with the premise of I'm not bringing any pre-planned material to the table this week. It was all just so, like, and if I understood it correctly, like, whatever he came up with, like, let's say that first show on Monday, whatever he came up with during that show, he allowed himself to develop that and build upon that in subsequent shows. But he went into the week using zero pre-written material, and by the end of the week, you know, I guess obviously the special is kind of clips from each night. But yeah, dude, and very few people could pull this off. People who don't do comedy may not understand the difficulty of developing material or usable material. But Rory's one of those rare cases where he's just so great on his feet. Such a good improviser. And man, a lot of the bits, I'm not saying he's full of shit. I'm is a compliment, but a lot of the bits seem like polished, like this is shit he's been doing for months. And
really,
I'm not saying that's what he did. I'm just saying that's a compliment to how good he turned these just spur of the moment ideas into actual material. And it's a wonderful stoner special. If you're a stoner, if you like the weed, fucking get high and watch this one. You're gonna just giggle for an hour and a half. There's a lot of just dumb giggle, just delightful stupidness. And it's
I was real
impressed. Kudos to Rory. This happens a lot with comics, but there was definitely a handful of bits where I was like, fuck, I wish I'd have thought of that. Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe someone beat me to that idea. That's an idea I should come up with.
What's one of them?
He talks about one of my favorite is, and it's so funny because I haven't thought about this idea in a long time, but in the South, and I gave him a little tag off the air that hopefully he'll use, but the tag is like, in the South, you're not allowed to make eye contact with anyone. In the South, like, it's a big thing, or at least with, like, dumb young males when you're just young and dumb and stupid and full of piss and vinegar and testosterone. Because I was this, too. I was this way. It was like, hey, what are you looking at? Like, just the concept of, like, a random stranger looking at you or making eye contact with you, and then you have to give them a look back. Just that look back, and he does this whole act out where he's just staring at somebody, shaking his head, like, I can look at you, too. And just, oh, God, just the way his act outs develop and just some of the shit he breaks into, just so funny. Just so, I'm a fan, like, obviously as a stand-up, I appreciate well-crafted jokes. I appreciate a well-crafted story. But I also just love well-done dumb. Just, that was so stupid, yet so
good. Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what Rory's whole act is just high level stupidity. Like, that is so dumb, like, yet so good.
Like when him and John Doerr get together.
Oh, God.
And it's silly stuff, but it's like, ooh.
That, ironically, you mentioned that. I think I saw something today that, like, it's been 10 years since they did their first Conan together, where they did the little bit where Conan double booked them. So Conan's going to let them both do their set at the same time.
It was Conan's last episode last week.
Yeah,
so that's
why it was kind of days
going
ago.
Down memory lane.
Yep.
Well, I gotta check that. I always thought Rory was
Rory's
special.
Yeah, he's a special talent and a good dude. Just a solid dude. But
also Ben Roy's got an album out. So I'll plug his album too. Yeah,
right on.
It's called Take the Sandwich. Ben Roy's I think he's on tour with Off With Their Heads right now.
Oh, really? That's cool.
As a comedian, though. He's not doing music with him.
Because he's also in... What's the name of his band? Spells?
Spells, yeah.
Right on.
He's doing it. Multi-hyphenates. I like it.
Yeah. Good for him. But, yeah, a lot of good comedy out there right now. Also, since we're talking to Rory, I watched... He's starring in a new show on Apple TV+. And I'm up to date on it. I think they've dropped 4 episodes at this point. A show called Physical. The lead is this lady, Rose Byrne. She's one of those where
that. It's like a flash dance type of thing.
Yeah, and it's set in the early 80s, and Rory plays her husband. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it's good. And he plays, his character is, he just nails it. Just kind of a doofus, kind of up his own ass, just a goober. He's just a goober in that one. And she's trying to build a career. She's kind of stuck in a rut and trying to figure out which direction she's going to go. She's working on something new. And I can't really put my finger on it, but he just nails just the goober, oblivious husband.
He's being Rory.
Just Rory. But, yeah, big week for him, so... check out I don't know if it's Live Without Fear or Live Without Fear, and I think that's on purpose. So however you want to interpret that, but quite a feat there, doing a whole special off of brand new spur of the moment material. So I've never been able to do that. I don't have that gene in me where I can just go up there and just wing it and see what happens. I gotta do the shit I've already thought about.
I might try it. I wouldn't record it for a special.
But yeah. So anyway, there we go. Where are you going to be this week, bud? Where can we go see you? You got any more shows?
Fort Wayne's all sold out.
Okay.
And then that's it, man. Just pay attention. Then I'm on my westward trek back to Oregon. to just chasing that heat wave around. It looks like maybe, you know, plans changed, so I didn't ride in Indiana. I'm in Chicago now. I'm trying to camp with my buddy this weekend, like the little off-grid camping up in Michigan. I'm seeing that there's some trails up in the UP. Might get down with that.
Get up to the UP. That's a fun area.
Have not been to the UP before.
Really? Oh, it's great. So, it's true wilderness.
My buddy got a Ford Raptor. He got one of those monster trucks.
Oh, is that like the beefed up F-150?
Yeah, it's a real son of a bitch.
Okay.
And we're going to see if we can get into that. I'm going to go hang out with him tonight and try and fix my van and plan that out. We'll see what's up. We'll see what's up.
Right on.
But I'm going to start my westward trek, so pay attention. People have reached out. I'm sorry, I've been very horrible about getting back on messages just because it's been a lot of traveling, and then the missus was in town, and it was like driving is a great way to be like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to look at my phone because I'm just looking at the road. And then with Rachel, she was like, oh, we're going to go out now. I'm not going to sit here and worry about social media or that shit. So I've been real horrible. People were hitting me up about shows in Ohio and everything, but I wasn't trying to go that far east yet. Please know that just because the tour dates I announced here, it's not the last tour. In no way have I said farewell. I'll get to you.
Of course.
Especially if you live near a major city. I appreciate the folks that did make the drives. The fella Drew who drove out to Louisville from St. Louis but forgot about the time change and missed the show. I feel bad. It's still your fault, but I still feel bad. You made an effort, and I've done it. I've done it, too, because especially from Chicago to Indiana, that's the border for the time zone right there. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to fuck it up.
I've done that
and
a
he
lot.
Said he was like new to Central Time. He just moved, so feel bad for that. I'm gonna get there. I'll tell you. I know it's like no this date, no that date. Give it. I'll get there. There's only so much I want to. I'm telling you, I love stand up. I want to do it. There's only so many dates I could do.
Yeah.
Before the quality of the show starts to dissipate. So I'm gonna get there. I will get there.
That is so cool when I'm sure you experience a lot more than I do, but I've experienced it a little bit when people come from great distances to see your show. Like I've gotten a little bit of that. I'm like, hey, I drove 5 hours to get here. Like that just blows my mind. Like really to see me? Well, holy shit. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I appreciate it, but I will get there. Don't you worry. I will go on and get there.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, all right, buddy. Good times.
Yeah, man. You got shows? Tell people about your shows.
Well, I'm starting to book local shows. I don't like plugging those. You just go out and support live comedy and maybe you'll see me. I don't like to plug local shows because it's practice, you know? I got a lot of rust on me. But yeah, I'm starting to do local shows around Long Beach, Orange County, I think I'm trying to get back up to L.A., do some shows. But in terms of proper shows, October, I'll be in Portland. I'll be in Seattle. I'll be in Eureka, California. And I'll be in Reno, Nevada. So all those dates are up now. Most of them are up at my website, dumbdavestone.com. So, yeah. Going to use the summer to knock the rust off and this fall go out and get back to work, apply my trade.
Apply your trade, buddy. Yep. Get back in there in the laugh mines.
Well, right on, buddy. Well, when do you think you'll be home? I mean, is this going to be a week-long trek? Are you 2 weeks away?
From today, I'm going to say at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, this will be a big haul for you. When it's all said and done, you'll be out for what, about 5-6 weeks?
Yeah, I left a month. I'll look at the calendar right now. When did I kick this off? It is getting crazy of like, what day did what happen? Like,
this is about the point where I start to kind of slowly go crazy. When I'm out for anything over 3 weeks, you start to, reality just becomes weird.
Yeah, I left on May 29th. Or May 30th. No, May 29th, yeah.
Okay.
May 29th, I've been out.
So you've been out about a month right now.
Yeah, and it's been Heat wave for the most of it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Portland's, that's crazy that Portland's getting hit so hard with the heat.
We were worried about Lil D. Rachel got back. She threw an ice pack on her.
Oh, good.
Just for feeling. It's been hot out there. I mean, she's still out sitting in the yard, still dirt napping, still namesaking out there. But Jenny Nooch out there. But she brought her in, threw a little ice pack on her neck. Like, come on, feel good about yourself.
That's nice.
A little elder care, so.
All right, buddy. Will you be safe out there? Keep it between the ditches.
Yeah, man. Greasy side down, shiny side up.
Oh, boy. All right, man. We'll holler at you soon.
The Boogie Monster.